We're just about ready to wrap up our message series. We got two more weeks, this one and another one. On the message series we're calling Basically Speaking, and we have life groups meeting, of course, during the week, following up on the message. So they got a couple more weeks to go, and the intent is that those groups will continue, that they'll go into another study when this one's done, or at the least, since we'll be getting close to holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas being the holidays I'm speaking of. Since we'll be getting close to that, at the least, maybe they'll come back in January and renew their groups and keep them going. I believe that it's worked pretty well putting these together. I can't believe that we're talking about ending the year, but we're only like 8 weeks left in 2021, believe that or not. Feels like it's just begun. But hopefully those groups will continue. We may do another message series connecting with them sometime in the future too. I'm sure we will. We'll see how soon that happens. Today we're going to talk about one of the most basics of the aspects of the Christian faith. We're going to talk about prayer. You've already picked that up today. It's one of the most basic practices, aspects of the Christian faith, and yet it sometimes feels mystical and raises a lot of questions with people. And many people aren't real comfortable with praying, particularly maybe praying out loud. They struggle with that. Some Christians are that way, or they aren't real sure how to go about it. And hopefully today's message will follow with our discussions this week, and the life groups will help that a little bit. I recently have been reminding us of the mission of the church, and the mission of the church is bringing people to Jesus, and of the goal of the church. The goal is becoming and making fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, and reminding us of the fivefold purpose of the church, in which we use the acronym TRUTH, standing for transforming, reaching, unrestraining, together, and helping. But there's another very necessary component of all of that, all of that we're about as the church, very, very necessary that it has to be in place, and it's this topic of today, it's prayer. Prayer must encircle all of the rest of that stuff. It must be in throughout all of the rest of our mission, our purpose, and our goal, if we want to see anything happen with those things in our lives and our life as a church. It's like a plane that's without prayer. Things happen by our power, and it's kind of like a plane that's on the tarmac ready to take off, but it has no wings. It can take off. It can go down the runway really fast. It can roar its engine and all of those things, but it can't get off the ground. It can't ever take flight. Everything we do, everything that we're about, needs to constantly be bathed in prayer. And if it's not, we'll only accomplish what we can accomplish by our power, instead of accomplishing all the best that God wants to accomplish by God's power. Let me just start with a question this morning. How many of you would say that you've been blessed by the prayers of others for you, others who prayed for you in some way, and that's helped? Raise your hand if you feel like you've been blessed by prayers of others for you. I think every hand is up in the room, and if it's not, it probably ought to be. I bet that every one of us has benefited from prayers of others, whether we realize that being the case or not. We've been blessed by prayers for us, and the awesome thing is that we can bless other people with our prayers for them. When I was growing up, it was my dad who was the so-called religious one in the family. He made sure that we were in church every week. We went to Sunday school. I mean, you didn't miss whether you wanted to go or not. That's just what you did. That's how we grew up. But you know what? It wasn't my dad that taught me to pray or taught us to pray. It was my mom that did that. Every night, my mom would come to each of our beds, my siblings and myself, and she would get on her knees next to our bed, and she would pray with us every night. She would say a prayer with all of us. As kids, we had these kind of some of these rote prayers that we'd learn in church, these memorized prayers from church. But my mom taught something very important to me, at least, in prayers. She taught me that I didn't have to only repeat learned prayers, but I could use my own words to talk to God. And friends, there is perhaps no stronger human influence for God's will than that of a praying parent. I can only imagine the number of times my kids have been guarded, guided, grown in faith, graced, and gifted by the prayers of their mom, by Caroline, over them. I do, of course, pray for them as well, but I know that for our kids, my mom, their mom is their top prayer warrior. I really know that. Others have prayed for you even when you've not been aware. There have been hundreds of times that I've needed to pray for others, and I'm deeply grateful for those who have prayed for me. I also know that I need to pray for others better than I do. It's not always easy to do that, though, is it? You know, sometimes you get distracted, you get busy, you have good intentions, but I'm not the greatest in the world at praying for others. I do want to be. I'm getting better at that. I'm growing as a prayer warrior, but I know that I need to be doing more, and I just wonder, does that relate to any of you in this room? I mean, can you relate to that? There are some definite prayer warriors of God that God's given this passion, this giftedness to pray long, to pray hard, to pray frequently. But understand, he didn't select a few prayer warriors to do all the praying, or only the leaders of the church or leaders to pray, or only the pastors to pray. He selected all of us to pray. We're supposed to pray prayers for other people. James 5, 13 through 16 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the leaders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Now, this is a beautiful urging for us to pray and to pray for one another, whether someone is suffering or someone is cheerful or someone is sick. We're to be praying for one another. It's a beautiful, beautiful urging from James. But as I read it, it also might sound a little bit daunting, right? I mean, anoint with oil. Go before the leaders of the church. Praying for faith. Confessing our sins to one another. And the big one, prayers of a righteous person has great power. You know, if I were a betting man, which I'm certainly not, but if I were a betting man, I would wager that there are at least a few in this room this morning that when I read that, prayers of a righteous person, they thought, I'm just not sure I entirely fit that category, a righteous person. You know what? None of us standing on our own do. That's why this verse begins by confess your sins. The word righteous means right with God, right with. And so right with God is what we're talking about. Are you right with God? We become right with God by confessing the fact that we're not righteous, by confessing our sins, and then our prayers become powerful and effective. And confessing our sins as being right before God, and being right before God is what makes us able to pray in faith. And what's the anointing oil mean? Well, in Scripture, oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when we anoint someone with oil, we're calling for the Holy Spirit to be present with the situation in which they are facing, or the struggle, or the area of healing that they need. We've talked about praying before. We've talked about praying for others more than once. Today we're going to look at a great example of blessing others with prayer and then use it to answer some questions that may keep us from praying as we ought to. And to do that, we're going to look at an account that's in Acts chapter 12 in the New Testament. And to get this whole story, it's about 19 verses. So what I want you to do is go home today and read this account from Acts chapter 12. Verses 1 through 19. Read that on your own. I think you're going to be intrigued by it and everything that happens there in those few verses. So I encourage you to take time to do that. For now, I'm going to summarize it a bit. So here's a summary. There's a king who's very interested in his own popularity. He's a king over an area that hates Christians. So in a move for more popularity, he decides to kill a couple Christians. And he figures that that's going to make the crowds happy, that they'll love that. So he grabs a Christian off the streets, one of the leading Christians of the day. His name is James, and he publicly executes him. Well, the crowd's pleased with his display, and that strokes his ego, so he decides to do it again, and he grabs another Christian. This time he grabs Peter, who is one of the leading Christians in the city. He plans to execute Peter as well. However, the day that he grabs him happens to be a holiday, and they're not allowed to kill him on a holiday. So King Herod has him held in prison until the holiday is over. So he puts him in prison under heavy guard. The Bible says in verse 5 there, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Earnestly praying for him. As you read the scriptures, you see how their prayers become a great blessing for Peter. It's an incredible passage of scripture. As you see how Peter becomes released from prison, an angel shows up, leads him out of the jail cell, takes him to his house, to the house where the people were actually praying for him, takes him to the house as they're praying. They're surprised that he's there. And the next day, Herod goes to look for him in jail, and he can't find him, and he gets angered. Still wanting to spill blood, he kills the guards. Tough story, right? And a true story. There are three questions that we can answer, this story can help us to answer about our prayers. And the first one is this. When I pray, is it all up to me or not? Is it all up to me in my prayers? Who has the power? Whose power is really going to make the difference here, friends? When you look at this story in Acts chapter 12, King Herod seemed to have all the power, while all the Christians, all they had was prayer. That's what it seems like. But whose power would you rather have, the power of a man or the power of God? Get this scene in your mind. The Bible in Acts 12 tells us that Herod assigned four squads of guards to hold Peter, to be around Peter. He had a guard chained to his right hand, another guard chained to his left hand. He had two more guards right outside the cell door, two more guards outside of the prison itself. And at night, they shut this iron gate to hold the city in, around the city. They locked everybody inside the walls. Peter is heavily guarded. He must have been one bad dude, right? One bad dude, not hardly. Then the Bible says an angel shows up, a bright light shines, the chains fall off, and Peter walks out right past all of the guards. When he and the angel came to the gate, the iron gate, it opened itself before them, and they walked right out, right down the street, and then the angel left. Now let me ask you, who had the power here? Was it Herod and his soldiers, or was the people in the house praying, or was it God's power? It was God's power. This is all about God's power. Prayer is all about God's power. Some people say there's power in prayer. Well, not quite. There's power in God, and prayer unleashes that. Prayer leads God to unleash his power. It's all about what God can do, not what we can do in our prayer. Sometimes we get the mindset of, if I just pray right, pray it right, if I just have the right words, if I'm fervent enough, if I'm sincere enough, if I'm passionate enough, if I pray long enough and hard enough, that somehow I'll be the one that controls this thing. But that's not the way that it works. It's not the way that it works. Actually, the Bible says that we don't even always know how to pray. Have you ever been praying in moments and you just don't know what to pray? Maybe you've prayed and you're praying and you're praying and you're out. You've run out. You don't know what else to say. You don't know how else to pray. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I've had those moments a lot, friends, a lot. While the Bible says we often don't know how to pray. Often pastors don't know how to pray. Seminary professors don't know how to pray. Those who've walked with Jesus as Christians their whole life for a long time sometimes don't know how to pray. And here's what Romans 8, 26 through 27 says to that. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Here's the deal, friends. When our prayers bless others, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. Do you know why that's important? It's important because when the prayers are answered, he gets the credit. If If it were all about us and us getting it just right, being sincere enough or powerful enough or long enough or hard enough in our prayers, praying the right words, whatever, then we'd get the credit. No, it is his power. It is his credit that it belongs to. So people will believe in him. That's the deal. That's the deal. And do you know what verse comes right after that verse that I just shared about praying? It's verse 28, and it says this, "And we know that for those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That's one of the biggest used verses among Christendom at times, isn't it? It gets used this way. So someone's having a hard time, we say, "Well, all things work together for good." No, it doesn't say that. It says that we know for those who love God, not for everyone, for those who love God, that things work out for good according to how God is purposing it. According to how God is purposing it. They work out for good in the bigger picture in a way that sometimes we don't see in our small, minute picture of what's happening. And this comes from the Holy Spirit giving these groanings deep from in us and words in prayer that actually come from God in our prayer. And this comes after God's own word is given in prayer and life for one another, that God will work things out for good according to his purpose. We send out these weekly prayer cards that come out from the church to everybody that's on our mailing list. So if you're in our mailing list, you should get this. And if you're not getting it and want to be, call the office. We'll make sure you get there. They go out to families in the church. You should get it 3-4 times a year. That tells you that me and the ministry staff that we're praying for you. Gives you an opportunity to give us some prayer concerns, and we always appreciate to get those. It helps us to know how to pray. But those cards go out, and we pray for you. And sometimes I'll have people that will come to me afterwards, and they'll tell me that this thing or that thing was happening, was going on a certain day, and was happening, and I saw that you were praying for me today, and I just know that's what made the difference. And sometimes they want to give that credit to me or to the staff that's praying, but no way. It was God's power that worked in your life. I have no power. Mike has no power. Matt has no power. It is God's power that worked. It is God's power that had us praying for you on that day for that specific need that we didn't even know about. It is all by God's power. Those prayer cards, they've kind of got placed on hold for a bit because we've been transitioning from our office administrator, but we're going to be getting those sent out again real soon. So when we're praying, we'll be able to pray for you by name. Diane Weisenauer is being trained as our new office administrator. She regularly attends at 8:30 at our worship there, and she's learning the ropes and getting that together. And so if you see her in the office or around, please welcome her and thank her for taking that role. And Betsy is transitioning out, and she has served so beautifully for the past few years. And since she's here, thank you so much, Betsy, for all that. And we really appreciate your service. Seriously blessed by what Betsy has done here. Here's a point, a practical point of application with this question, friends, that I want that might help us. When you pray, here's the application. When you pray, you can relax. You're not controlling this thing anyway. If you think that it's going to be your prayer that makes it all better, it's God that makes it all better. He wants you to pray, but you can give it to God and you can relax. You can resign as God of the universe because you're not that. The God of the universe is already in place. You're not in charge. He is. So pray and relax. Leave it up to God. It's up to him. It's all about his power, not our power. Second question we can get from Acts 12 is this. When I pray, should I be formal or not? Should I be formal or not? Now, I just want to say before I go into this, formal prayers aren't bad. Some people, that's really how they connect to God. In the church where I did youth ministry, there was an older woman there who had been serving in a church, and she often would be asked to pray, and she was a thee or thee thou prayer. Use all these words, but it was so earnest. It was so real. It was so from the heart that you never, ever questioned, is she just doing this for show? You didn't question that at all. It was very much from the heart. You know, as you read through the Bible, looking at a lot of the prayers in the Bible and the verses that talk about praying, you might be surprised to find out about how many times that it said people prayed, but you don't actually see their prayers. They're not listed there. You don't know what they prayed. You don't know how they prayed, the words they prayed. There are a lot of prayers in the Bible, but a lot of times it'll say they prayed, and you don't really know what they were saying. Even in this account from Acts, in Acts chapter 12, 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God. It says they were praying, but we don't know how they were praying. We just know earnestly they were praying. We don't know what words they prayed. It doesn't give us those words. Just that they were earnest and from the heart. The Bible often doesn't say what or how people prayed. If it did, maybe we would have some kind of code. Maybe we would know the right words to get God's attention. If I had these words and the right tone of voice, and maybe God would pay attention if I follow the right protocol, if I do it formally enough in my prayers. You know, it's like trying to set a dining room table for a formal dinner. Where does the salad fork go and the dinner fork and the soup spoon and where does the napkin go? Now, I'm teasing a bit because I believe that most of us who have been walking with Christ who know him know that this just isn't how it works. That's not the way prayer works, and aren't you glad that it doesn't work that way? But some people do think that it works that way because that's what they've seen. That's what they've heard. Maybe that's what they've learned in church or what they've experienced. Sometimes people pray trying to impress others. Some people, sometimes they do that. Have you ever been around someone who seemed to be trying to impress other people in their prayer? I mean, that's just what it feels like anyway. We're not trying to judge, but it feels that way. Maybe on Thanksgiving with all the relatives gathered around, maybe you're the token Christian in the family, right? And somebody's going to say, well, it's Thanksgiving, we ought to pray, and all eyes turn to you. Try being the pastor in the family, right? And sometimes there's that temptation, I'm going to pray in front of others, and maybe you've not done that a lot, and you're feeling kind of insecure, and you're like, I don't want to look like a dork doing this, so let me conjure up some words. Let me get some impressive words going here that it'll sound good, and so that I'll know that everybody feels good with what I'm doing. And out comes this prayer. Oh, great, bounteous God, the God of our forefathers and our foremothers, the celestial being, the preserver of all kingdomdom. Whither whence I thank thee for thy bounteous, bountiful bounty. Thou who'st made thy waters, soil, and sun, and sea, and out of thou celestialness, we beseech thee this Thanksgiving day of the Lord, November 25th, 2021, with great thankfulness. That's what's happening at our house on Thanksgiving. Now, I'm purposefully exaggerating, you know. But sometimes we try to be impressive with our words. I mean, have you ever felt that kind of pressure? You're put on the spot to pray, and you're like, okay, let me see what I can get going here. I read a story about a teenage boy who was going on a blind date. When he was getting ready for the date, he went to the pharmacist at Walgreens, and he said, I need 3 1-pound boxes of chocolate. 3 1-pound boxes of chocolate. The pharmacist says, the candy's over there, but, you know, it's a lot more affordable if you buy 1 3-pound box instead of 3 individual boxes. And the teenager said, no, I know that, but I need 3 1-pound boxes of chocolate. I don't just need one box. And so the pharmacist says, okay, but I'm just curious, why do you need 3 1-pound boxes? Are you buying for like 3 different people or something? And the teenager explained, well, I have a blind date tonight. And when I go pick her up, this young lady pick her up, and she gets into the car, you know, she kind of comes to the middle and kind of sitting by the door. So I'm going to give her a box of chocolate. And he winked, he said, know what I mean? And then when we get to the movie theater, he says, you know, after we have the popcorn and the pop, and he said, I'm going to yawn and reach out my arm around her. And he said, if she draws in near to me, he said, I'm going to give her another box of chocolate. Know what I mean? Know what I mean? And then he said, when I take her to the door and I take her home, when I walk up to the door, he says, I'm gonna lean in a little. He said, and if when I lean in, she gives me a little bit of sugar, he said, then I'm going to give her another 1 pound box of chocolate. And he winked again. He said, you know what I mean? Well, this boy's priorities were certainly not in good order. And his first thought was certainly not about the fact that he's about to take out a daughter of our God. Guys in the room, if you're not married and you're taking out a girl, you make sure you remember you're always taking out a daughter of the Lord, right? He obviously didn't know that. He also obviously didn't understand her intelligence and that she was probably going to get on to him pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Well, the young man shows up at the, with disdain, the pharmacist sells him the 3 boxes of chocolate, and then he shows up to pick up the girl for the date, and he got there, and he had to have dinner with the family first. The young lady's father asked the teenage boy to pray, and I'm telling you, he prayed a prayer unlike any prayer you've ever heard. Coming out of a teenager's mouth, he prayed for every dish of food around the table. He prayed for every person around the table by name. He prayed for missionaries. He didn't even know missionaries. He made up names. Praying for missionaries all over the place. He just prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. You ever heard of the expression of praying the food cold? He prayed the food cold. And they thought he'd never end. And he finally prayed, got done praying. They ate the meal. And he and the young lady then began walking out to the car. And her eyes were still big as saucers over this boy's prayer. And she looked at him. She said, I didn't know you were so religious. And he, you know what he said? He looked at her and he said, I didn't know your daddy was the pharmacist. He really wanted an impressive prayer. A really impressive prayer. Do you have to be formal when you pray? Do you have to be impressive with your words? Let me just give you this tip, a really important tip. Listen close. If you wouldn't pray that way when you talk to God one-on-one, don't pray that way when you're praying with others to God. If you wouldn't talk that way to God one-on-one, don't feel like your language has to change because you're now with a group of other people. The verse that we looked at in Romans 8:26 says it best. If you don't know how you ought to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede with groans and words that you cannot express. Do groans sound formal? Do groans sound like these and thous? Groans sound a little messy to me. But they're words of the Spirit. Sometimes the most articulate prayer you can pray is just with the tears rolling down your face. You don't have the words, but you can't do anything else anymore but let the tears roll down, and God takes those tears and turns those into words to heaven. Takes that emotion, and he makes it into the words that are needed. Sometimes it's not your words at all. It's just your heart before God. Here's another point of personal application. The first point was this: when you pray, you can then relax. The second one is this: when you pray, you can be real. You can be real. Just be real. That's all God wants. Use the words that you use. Speak out of your personality from your own heart and be real. Third question, when I pray, is my prayer effective or not? Is it effective or not? We've saved the hardest question for last. We want to know that our prayers really matter, don't we? Are they effective? Does anybody remember the story of Elizabeth Smart? Some people do. Most of you probably don't because it's almost 20 years ago, and some of you maybe weren't even alive 20 years ago. But it's almost 20 years ago. On June 5th, 2002, at age 14, she was abducted from her bedroom and her home in Utah. It was all over the national news for several months, and she was found alive, praise God, 9 months later, March 12th, 2003, about 18 miles from her own home, being held by a couple who was charged with kidnapping. Elizabeth Smart's father, Tom Smart, was quoted in a newspaper article saying, I don't think any little girl was prayed for more in the history of the world. And you know what? You've got to believe that when something like that happens and that news gets out around the country, shared over the news, and it doesn't always get shared because these events happen every day and nobody gets to hear about it. But when that becomes the news and it gets shared, you've got to believe and today over social media and things, that a lot of people are praying from all over the place. People from all kinds of backgrounds and levels of faith pray for a happy ending, don't they? And my guess is that less people probably would pray today as they did in 2002. That's just my guess. But if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I would wager that believers all over the world would be praying. That's what I would believe. But then you've got to stop and think, don't you? Why doesn't everyone get the happy ending that she did? I mean, ask Danielle Van Damme's parents about that, or Samantha Runyon's mom, both cases of abductions that didn't end happily. Ask our neighbors who live next door to us in Cincinnati when their two grandsons came up missing, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and only find out that there was some weird flash flood that washed them both away and killed them both. So you wonder sometimes, why? Why aren't all these prayers answered that way? Even the story from Acts chapter 12, what we talked about, where Peter's being released from prison, he's divinely protected by God, isn't he? I mean, you can see it, but the first couple verses in the chapter tell us about James being arrested and executed. You've got to believe that they were praying for James when he was in prison as well. You know, I wish I had a crystal clear, precise, easy to understand reason for why God sometimes intercedes in ways that we can see like that in our prayers, and sometimes it appears that he doesn't. But I don't have that answer. That's actually where we have to really, really put our faith into action. No matter what I see, what I experience, what travesties occur, I believe these things about God. I believe that he's always good, that he always loves me, that he's always has a greater purpose, that he's always just, that he never leaves me, that he's always with me, that he'll never forsake me. And what happens in this world is not the end. In fact, what happens in this world is a blip compared to all that's yet to come. John Wimber is the founding pastor of the Vineyard Church. Vineyard Church helped start a lot of other Vineyard churches. He started the original Vineyard Church. There are now thousands of Vineyard churches across the United States, even in some towns near us. Along the way, one of the things that the Vineyard Church, at least this initial one, and many Vineyard churches were noted for were these healing services, where they'd have people from all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses and diseases that would come forward and be prayed for, and some were miraculously being healed. John Wimber himself died from cancer. Shortly before his death, he was speaking at a conference, and he was asked, "Do you still believe in healing, even though you're dying from cancer?" And John answered. He said this. He said, "Through the years, I and others have prayed for thousands of people to be miraculously healed. Honestly, most were not. But through the years, some were. What I know is in every case, prayer helped. God used prayer to comfort, to encourage, for strength and faith, or to lift spirits. In every case, it helped. In every case, prayer helped." Friends, even though we may not always see the results that we want or as we think we should see them, our prayers do matter. They do have an effect. Researchers have studied the impact of prayer on the healing process and how quickly a patient recovers. One of the most famous studies was done by Randolph Bird at the University of California. Bird took 400 cardiac patients that had come in with heart attacks. He put half in a study group, but didn't tell anyone. He took 200 names, gave them to other people, Christians across the country, to pray for them, to pray for these people. The people who were praying didn't know the patients. The patients didn't know they were being prayed for. Neither did the doctors or the nurses know they were being prayed for. Nobody knew except those that they were being prayed for, except the researchers. Half of the heart patients were prayed for, while the other half were not. They all got the same great state-of-the-art, high-level cardiac medical treatment, but half were prayed for and half were not. The results were outstanding. Those who were prayed for were less likely to develop congestive heart failure, 5 times less likely to require antibiotics, 3 times less likely to need diuretics, None of them who were prayed for required breathing tubes. Fewer of them had pneumonia. Fewer needed CPR after the procedure. And none of them passed away, died. None of them died. Another medical researcher was looking at this meticulous study. And here's what he said about it. He said, if the therapy being evaluated had been a new drug, it would undoubtedly have been heralded as a medical breakthrough. A medical breakthrough. I don't want to mislead us. I'm not saying give up on medical treatment and just pray. I'm not saying that. I believe that God provides medical treatment. You've got to get the best care that you can get by the best doctors that you can afford. You do all you can. What I'm saying is add to that all that God can do. And come to God in prayer and invite him into your situation. God wants to be a part of it. He wants to be invited. He wants us to pray because he cares about us. Sometimes God does an outright miracle. His miracles happen literally every day, many times a day. There are people in this church who can attest to that, who can tell you about medical miracles that they have had, who have received those from God. Sometimes God does a miracle through doctors and treatment. Sometimes he does it an outright miracle just by the breath of the Holy Spirit over your situation, and you have that healing from him. And sometimes God's miracle is simply his presence with us through it, as we go through it. Just having that presence with us the whole time as the results of something that we don't understand. It's not going to end the way we want, but he's just been here in his presence with us through it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Never confuse your lack of understanding as him not caring, because it's just not true. In every situation, God sees what you cannot see. He understands what you cannot comprehend. He works in ways that you do not realize, and he's always, always a miracle-giving God. Even if the miracle is to usher a believer out of this dusty, dirty, decaying world and into a glorious home in heaven with him, he is a miracle-working God. We don't have to get it to still know that God has got it. I want you to hear that phrase again. It's really important. We don't have to get it to know that God has already got it. God's got it. Here's our final point of personal application. The first we said was when we pray, you can relax. The second is when you pray, just be real. And the final is when you pray, be reassured. Be reassured that God is working. Prayer makes a difference. It always makes a difference. I don't have to get it to know that God has got it. God has got it. Friends, we're going to close this message a little differently today than what we typically do, because this is a message that I don't want us only to hear about, but I want us to take some time to do. So before we close in a song, what I want to do is we're going to take some time to pray together. Not just me praying, but you praying with me this morning, inviting you to pray with me. And here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In a moment, I'm going to invite us to get into some groups in the room. You can turn to people right next to you or behind you. You can move. Maybe you want to go to a side and make a prayer circle, or come up front, or go to the back, or go to some other seats. We have plenty of space to move. So I'm inviting you to get together with some others. And I'm going to first pray before we do that. And I just want to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to ask the Holy Spirit just to prompt me. And if there's anything that he has me to say for us, I'm going to share that in prayer. Then I'll break us into these groups. And in these groups, I'm going to give us some prompts to guide us in our prayer time. And just to invite you to pray out loud. Then when we're done, we're going to sing a closing song together. And I've asked our lead team, who are the elders of our church, and myself and any of the ministry staff that can be here, to just be up front. And if you want to be prayed for something specifically, if you'd like to be anointed with oil, I have anointing oil. We will anoint you with oil. We will pray for your specific need. We'll do that at the close. Let's just all bow our heads. Pause and ask the Spirit to move. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to move. Make our ears, make our hearts, make our minds attentive to you. Those at home too who are watching at home. Spirit, I just ask you to move in my heart and mind right now. If there's a word that you have me to share with your people, God. Words that are coming to my heart right now as I'm trying to listen to the Spirit. Discouragement. Disappointment. Difficulty. God, I believe there are maybe some folks in this room that are dealing with some of those things right now. They're just really feeling discouraged. Going through a situation, they just are having a hard time understanding, or a really difficult situation, or feeling disappointed by others or by events. Holy Spirit, I ask you to minister. Minister to our hearts and minds in those ways, if that's what we're going through, if things are like really hard right now. Maybe there's some people that feel like they've been crying out to you and crying out to you and crying out to you and aren't feeling heard. They're not seeing your response in the way that they want to or think they should. And Holy Spirit, I just call. I ask you to just bring a piece of your presence with them if they're in that place. That even if they can't have the answer that they think they need right now, they just know your presence. Even if they don't know the purpose, the reason, just give them your presence. Show them something in this moment or in this day or in this hour that says, I am here. Let's ask you now to find some others to pray with, a group. If you're completely just really uncomfortable in this, that's okay. Just chill. Stay and pray where you are. But I encourage you to just turn to some others. We have room to move. Don't be bashful. Turn to someone. Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, relational. Let's pray. Are there family members or friends? Concerns that need prayed for with them? Let's pray. Ministries may be in our church or out of our church, where we can pray the Spirit's leading and leading you to pray for, with maybe missionaries, maybe some in the persecuted church right now that really need prayers. Our youth, our children, our life groups, our backpack ministry, Operation Christmas Child, all the other things, anything outside of the church, any ministry areas that God's prodding you to pray for. Let's pray. Things going on in our communities, in our states, our country, where we need to pray for our schools, our businesses, the sick, the poor, the jobless, the broken, the addicted, the lost, the lonely, the suicidal, the mentally disturbed, spiritually broken. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence with us. Keep leading us as we pray. We're going to transition into a closing song. You can keep praying. God's leading you to keep praying. I'll be up front. Some of the lead team people will be up front if you need something specifically prayed for or would like to be anointed with oil. Feel like your prayer time is concluded, just join in the song as we sing together. Let's worship our God. Keep calling on His presence. Friend, may the peace and the presence of God's Spirit be with you. May you take what you're experiencing right now into your day and into your week and into your life and into your moments with God. Know that you